Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this: Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Again, Paul speaks to this church in Corinthians, and he says, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this night. Do thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the pulpit here and give the message. Lord, you know my heart. You know I need your help. And Lord, I just pray for your filling now. Pray for your guidance. Help me to say only what I'm supposed to say tonight. And Lord, help the folks to hear what they need to hear tonight. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for your power, the fact that no matter what time we open the Word of God, you can touch our hearts. And I ask for that tonight, for that person who needs it. I do ask for your safety upon those who in our ministry who are in different places and who are away from us. And I just pray for their safety and bring them back here. We look forward to seeing them again. Give us a good night together. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to preach tonight on a subject, and the title of the sermon is this: Pick Up the Pace and Press Toward the Prize. A lot of P's in that one. Pick up the pace and press toward the prize. And Paul, in the Bible, he talks about a lot of things, but one of his main illustrations in the Word of God, as you read all of his letters and in his writings, is this matter of physical fitness. He uses different examples of that a lot. He uses, running a race, building strength, personal determination, all those attributes that come with maybe playing sports or running or doing something that takes a lot of physical effort. And that's good, because that's what the soldier would do, right? Standing in the armor of God, standing strong, you know, fighting the spiritual warfare. Preacher started that series on Sunday nights. And that takes more than just spiritual. That takes some physical effort, all right? And the comparison for us is really easy to draw. And so a lot of times you'll see something physical and spiritual mentioned in the same thing. Like in 1 Corinthians, he says there's men that strive for, if you're running a race, you are running for a purpose. You're running to get that prize. I mean, why else run except for some kind of goal? And maybe the prize isn't a medal. Maybe the prize is just reaching the destination you want to reach. When you were kids, it was who could get to the front seat the fastest, right? That was the prize. You ran so that you could call shotgun. Anybody say that? All right. Yeah, exactly. And there's 7 kids in our family, so we did that several different times. All right. I can't, you call it, and the prize was you got shotgun. All right. Unless dad said, nope, sit in the back. All right. And dad kind of trumped all prizes. Okay. And so we see physical comparisons with spiritual comparisons mentioned in the same thing. Paul says these people run for corruptible crowns. We're running for an incorruptible crown. I think we all know that. I think we get the concept here. And I'm going to just give you a couple things tonight. And this is going to come from a personal illustration, all right? And something that happened to me. Some goals that I set. I sat down in January this year, and I looked at our theme, and I thought, armored, armored, becoming, a tough soldier for the Lord. And spiritually, I need to put on some armor. And I'm, looking forward to lessons on how to do that better. Because the truth is, we all need instruction in that area. We might think we have it, but you know what? If there's one day that I miss one of those pieces of armor, it could be a bad day for me. It could be a day that the devil finds that one weak area in my life, and he attacks that area. So I need to make sure that I'm prepared spiritually for each day. And I think we know that. But I sat down at the beginning of the year, and I planned ahead, and I thought, you know what? I just had my twin boys, and I have 5 kids now, and there's all these goals that you can set. I mean, people set goals all the time in January, right? Or before January. You should go into the new year with goals, okay? And you should evaluate those things, not just one time, okay? Don't just set goals and then go, whoops, I failed, too late, all right? Well, we should look at our goals and, right now, take that this week and on spring break or whatever you're on and go back and look at them and say, okay, have I lived up to this goal that I set? All right. And you know what? I can honestly say this is kind of an update message because I came up with this comparison because something happened to me, and you're going to find that out in a minute. And I feel like the Lord's let a lot of things happen to me the last couple weeks. Amen. And I lost the Lord's kind of if you're thankful for your senses, the Lord sometimes wants to. He took away some of those this year for me. All right. I got that sickness that takes away your taste. I now appreciate taste more. All right. I got that sickness that took away my smell, and I appreciate my smell more. And I last week something happened to my ear, and it still rings like a bad speaker. Okay, and so I don't know what the deal is, but I'm thankful now more for the people for hearing. Okay, and I know what some of you go through when you say, "Huh?" All right, because I don't have a hearing aid. Okay, and I'm not gonna get one. No, I'm just gonna pray it, and the Lord hopefully will heal it and all that. So if I say something funny tonight, it's because I probably can't hear what I'm saying. Okay. So anyway, but the Lord has let certain of those kind of goofy things happen to me, but it does give you better appreciation for the things that, you always appreciate something that you might have once had and then lost, all right? And it gains a new sense of appreciation for it, thankfulness to the Lord. And so one of the things I wanted to stop and look at myself in is my physical fitness. And I said, you know what? There's some things I need to make, some determinations I need to make, goals I need to make to get more fit. And you can tell it's working, right? And but really, you have to set goals in, because listen, we laugh. I think sometimes we laugh because we know sometimes we're here and then all of these really awesome people are over here and we expect that just doing it will jump us right there. All right, it doesn't work that way. It's just like the Christian life. Neither one of those things work that way. You can't walk up to the guy who's been training and physically keeping himself fit for 10 years and expect to be that person, all right, overnight. And so that's one of the points that we'll make today. So one of it happened. It happened to me, and I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you. A few days ago, or in January, when it was 10 degrees outside, I decided I was going to just kick myself and get going and start doing this. And I said I'm going to start running, at least a mile or two or whatever I can do, once a week. All right, that's an easy start. Okay, I mean, we can all. And you know what? I did it, and I absolutely wore myself out. All right. I got out there and I ran and I went to Shack Mac and I ran around the big loop there. And you know what? It was amazing how fast a mile went by. All right. I had a little thing that took track of my miles. And about the time that I was just running and enjoying myself, it said 1 mile. And I was like, wow, that was fast. All right. That didn't seem like that bad at all. And by the time I got to mile number two, and I ended up running about 2.5 miles, 2.25, something like that, 2.5, a little bit, almost 3. And that was fun. I enjoyed it. Now, you wouldn't ask me that at the beginning. I mean, in hindsight, I enjoyed it. All right. Getting started, getting started with something that I had set as a goal. But I'm just going to give you some lessons. I'm going to call this Lessons Learned While Running. All right. That's not the title of the message, but Lessons Learned While Running. Paul here talked about running for a prize. And in his spiritual application, he uses running a lot because the Christian life isn't a one-time sprint. It is a race. It does go on. It's not something you can live in one day. It's something you live every day. And so as a runner in this marathon of not only physical life, but the spiritual life that we have the day that we get saved, we ought to learn some spiritual lessons along the way. And so I'm going to take some of the lessons that I learned while doing that one time of running and apply them maybe to some pretty practical spiritual lessons for life. And I kind of like my dad's way of doing that, and he preaches that way. He'll preach messages on lessons I learned while plumbing the house, all right? And there's a lot of lessons you can learn while, lessons I learned while doing this. Well, today's is lessons I learned while running. Number one, I want you to know this. We should put on the tracker every day. I got this for Christmas. It's a little watch. It has a tracker on it, all right? It tracks everything about my running. It would track my heart rate. It would track whether I was walking funny. I mean, all that kind of stuff. And that might seem like a goofy thing. And obviously, you can track your running without one of these, all right? Stopwatch or plan your route or whatever. But you need to have a measurement. Otherwise, you have no idea how much you're doing, all right? So in the spiritual sense, we've got to have a tracker every single day to show where I am at. So you know what? As I was running, I just decided, you know what? I'm going to put this on every time I run. Well, one, I have it, and it's, I got to get some use out of it. Otherwise, it just collects dust. Amen. But the other thing is, I want to know how I'm doing. I want to know if I need to go faster. I want to know if I need to go a little longer. I want to know if I need to go a little slower. All right. I want to know if I'm actually, you know, if I'm just walking 3 miles, that's a lot different than running 3 miles. Okay. And I end up, you know, if my goal is to lose weight, I need to run a little faster, do a little more work, bodily work, to get myself to the point where I'm losing some weight. And you know what? That's just a good thing to do if you're going to run. But let's put that to the spiritual side of things. Put on the tracker every day. What is that? What's this tracker, Brother Young? How do I track myself spiritually? Well, there's some pretty obvious things. A daily walk with God is a good way to start. You want to stay clean and with the Lord, a daily walk with the Lord helps. All right? Reading the Bible every day, praying every day, keeping a short account with God every day. Do you, as a spiritual Christian, do you want to be a fit Christian for the Lord? Well, let me ask you this. Do you track yourself every day? You and God. Because guess what? If I ask Him, He's the best person to tell me whether I'm doing good or not. All right? He's the best person. I can ask all of you and probably you'd say, oh, you seem to be doing pretty good, Brother Young. But God knows my heart. And if I'll just develop a good relationship with Him, sometimes I go to Him and I ask the Lord, I say, Lord, how am I doing? And He says, you know the answer to that. Okay? And He usually points something out to me and I think, oh yeah, that thing. Whoops. All right. Got to fix that. All right. And there's more than one thing like that. Okay. In your life, let me ask you, young people, do you have a prayer list? Do you have a Bible? Those are basic things. But you know what, Christian, maybe you've been sitting in the pew for 10, 15, 20 years and you don't have a prayer list. You don't have a Bible reading plan. You know what? That is a sign of a non-fit Christian. All right. Now, I'm not telling you have to go use my plan and selling you something. Okay. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that we need to track ourselves in this area of spiritual fitness every single day. And you know what? Between you and the Lord, if that's just you getting up every day and reading the Bible where you left off, that's fine. All right? If that's just you getting up every day and praying about something with you and the Lord, that's fine. I think you'll grow in that. But let's start it. Number one, we got to have a tracker. God is the best one to keep us in line on this area. All right? Number two, dress appropriately for the job. Dress appropriately for the job. This one's pretty simple, but I found out that day that it was a good idea to be dressed a certain way because I was running and it was 10, 15 degrees outside. It was cold, all right? I got about, you know, 100 feet into that and I'm thinking, why am I doing this, okay? I really did. I was like, what in the world is wrong with me? You know, I'm not one of those guys, okay? I'm not supposed to be, you know, and now I wasn't out. I'll just say I wasn't dressed inappropriately either because you got the other side of things in the sports world. Summertime, they try to take more off, okay? And they try to put more, not enough on in the winter. I mean, you know, the world's idea of fitness is immodest, okay? Let's just preach on that for just a second. If you feel like to get fit physically, you need to be immodest to do that, then you're wrong, okay? And so let's just throw that out there, maybe for anybody watching or a new Christian in here. The Bible, nowhere in getting in shape, you know, do you have to become immodest? Don't fall into the world's trap of I'm sure that too many clothes do matter if you're trying to get Usain Bolt's, you know, 8.1972 record, okay? You know, that's between him and the guys who keep the records, all right? So those Olympic guys, I'm sure that there's arguments that they could make. But you know what? As a Christian, we ought to dress modest at all times, okay? But also, we got to dress appropriately for what we're doing. I needed some warmth while I was out there, okay? I found out really fast I should have worn earmuffs, okay? My ears were freezing. I did wear gloves, all right? Found out really fast that all of those clothes make it harder to run because it's heavy and hot and you know what? And I was out of shape, amen? And so, you know what? Dress appropriately. But as a Christian, we should dress appropriately when we serve the Lord, all right? This one doesn't take a whole lot of scripture, doesn't take a whole lot of time. We could preach messages on it, but I'm just going to mention it here tonight. Hey, listen, Christians ought to be different. We ought to be different. When you walk into the store, they ought to say, wow, that guy must be a Christian. Boy, he must work at a church. Now, occasionally, if you're a pastor, if you're dressed in a tie or whatever, you might even get confused as a businessman, all right? But you know, honestly, in Greene County, probably not, okay? They'll say, you're a Baptist preacher, aren't you? Okay, I've not really had a whole lot of people ask me if I was a businessman when I was dressed up for soul winning, okay? But you know what? Hey, listen, we ought to dress appropriately. We ought to dress appropriately, modestly. We ought to be a good testimony for the Lord. Soul winning. How about at church? You know, how about at school? How about in the summertime when there's no church or school? All right. Just a reminder to you, warm's coming up. Warm time, seasons of, you know, fun outdoors. Listen, you know, when you walk up to my house, I might actually have a t-shirt on during that time. Okay. Nothing wrong with wearing a t-shirt to work in. I don't want to sweat in my nice shirt and tie. Okay. But you know what? It's going to be modest. And you know what? What's on the t-shirt's going to be appropriate too. And so let's just be careful that we have the right testimony, okay? Number three, it takes more than one time to see results. I learned that one really fast too. All that hard work and almost 3 miles there, and you know what? It helped me, but it didn't accomplish the goal, did it? All right? Not the long-term goal. You can't just go out one time and expect to see instant results. You've got to run. The Bible says there, run with patience the race. It talks about in Jesus enduring the cross. We won't revisit the same scripture, but think about what he was just saying there. He said, if you look at verse 25 there in Corinthians, and every man that striveth, it took work, he's striving for it, for mastery. That's not a one-time thing. Mastery is not a one-time thing. You don't master anything the first time you try it. You might be pretty good at it the first time you try it. You know, some guys maybe say, well, I never went fishing before, and the first time I did it, I caught 5 fish. Well, good for you, all right? But you didn't master fishing just because you got 5 fish, all right? You know, teenage boys, right? They know how, they've mastered driving before they drive, right? Well, I'm sorry, you might have got, you know, they don't come home and say, well, you know what, Dad, I didn't get in an accident today. I've mastered this thing. The goal is not to get in an accident, okay? It's to drive safely more than one time. Yeah. So mastery doesn't happen in one time. It doesn't happen in one time. It happens with consistent practice. Hey, listen, you know what? How's your soul winning? Let's just change that to spiritual things, okay? Where am I convicted at? Well, my soul winning. I'll just be honest with you. A lot of tonight's message could be applied to 2021, Operation Occupation. Preacher got up a couple weeks ago and he mentioned that this would be a great year to see a good harvest in this area of our mission fields. Folks, be praying for our mission fields. Be working in your mission field. I need to work about twice as hard in my mission field. You know why? I want to see results that last forever, not just here. All right? Not just here. And you know what? That ought to be your goal too. We ought to go out and more than just one time go soul winning, but go consistently. And you got to go consistently. You can't say I've mastered soul winning because you went out and one person got saved. First of all, that wasn't you, that was God. But you know what? He rewarded you with your diligence to go soul winning. And you know what? Brother James Young, he's going to help me in Mission Field 8. And we went out soul winning on Saturday. And, you know, we didn't see anybody saved. We met a couple neat people and people that we need to follow up on. But you know what? We're just going to go out again next week and the week after that and the week after that. And you know what? A fisherman doesn't always catch 100 fish on that day. But fishing is what's fun to him. All right, and the Bible called us to be fishers of men. So hey, listen, let's be diligent in our practice for the Lord, in our patience for the Lord. Let's keep pressing on. All right. So number three, it takes more than one time. Number four, go out and run even if you don't feel like it. Go out and run even that goes along with that practice thing. Go out and run even if you don't feel like it. I did not feel like running that day. It was cold, but you know what? I did. And you know what? Listen, I can just testify that. I didn't complete my goal of running every week. I didn't. I failed a few weeks. But you know what? I did run more than I had before. And you know, out of 8 weeks, I could count 6 of them where I had faithfully done what I had said I was going to do. And a couple of those days, I went in and I have a treadmill and I did the treadmill. I hate running on the treadmill. It's horrible. All right? You feel like you've been running, you know, you're running outside where God created all that nature and stuff for you to get concentrated on. You can run 2.5 miles in no time at all. It feels like a breeze. But then you get on a treadmill and start running and running. You're looking down and going, oh my goodness, it's not even a mile yet. What's wrong with this thing? That's what I found out. All right. But you know what I did? I ran anyway. I just ran because it was good for me. Hey, listen, you know what? If it's cold, you need to go out soul winning. If it's hot, we need to go out soul winning. If it's, you know, if you're tired, you need to go out soul winning. Maybe not go when you're extremely tired and you can't talk, but let's go out soul winning. All right, let's go out soul winning. Hey, listen, you know what? After Revival Week, you know what we did Saturday? We went out soul winning. And if you didn't, then you need to look at your spiritual fitness and say, am I armoring up? Am I a good soldier of the Lord? Am I doing what I'm supposed to? Am I making progress in the marathon or am I standing still? All right, because guess what? There's really not a standing still. You're either making progress forward for the Lord, or the devil's got somewhere where he's pulling you backwards. You may not see it. It may not, you know, kind of like running on a treadmill. I guess you could even say you're either running in the real race or you're running on the treadmill. And sometimes you got to run on the treadmill to keep yourself in shape, but at the same time, you're not going anywhere if you do that. And you're not heading in the right direction. So let's make sure that, you know what, no matter what we feel like, we go out and do it anyway. Go out and do it for the Lord. That's what Paul was saying. Some people, they strive their whole life for a corruptible crown. And listen, just make sure you're striving for the right crown too. I don't know if I have that in here or not, but you know what? Listen, we need to make sure that our goals are set right, because there's eternal things and there's temporal things. And you can have as many crowns of temporal things as you want, and it's not going with you. So listen, go out and run towards the right thing, even if you don't feel like it. Number five, and this one's a good one to remember. Let's go back to Hebrews 12. Let's look at this. I want to look at that one more time. Hebrews 12. See if I can get there. Hebrews 12, verse 1. It tells us an interesting thing, and this is what happened. I'll go ahead and read the verse first. Here's what it says. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's that key word, and I think we've heard many messages from it, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Hey, listen, number five, the heart rate has to go up to bring the fat down, all right? That was my goal, to start running, okay? I do want to shed a little bit of this extra fat, all right? But you know what? Listen, your heart rate's got to go up first before your weight can come down, all right? That's kind of a goofy thing, but in my research of health and researching where, you know, what I have to do to be active and, you know, get better fit for the Lord or fit physically, one of the things that this did was it recorded all of my heart rates the whole time. And, you know, when you're out of shape, that heart rate goes up really fast, okay? It went from a really low heart rate to a high one, and it stayed up in about this high range. And there's about two ranges in there where they measure your heart rate, and they say, here's the range where you're burning through your fat, you're doing good work, you're getting good exercise. And then there's a rate above it that's actually too high, all right? Now, if your heart rate gets too high, that's not good, obviously. But even up here, you know what, you're still doing a lot of work, but you're not as... Your goal, if you're going to become more fit, is to keep doing that until your heart rate can stay in that working section where your body is actually getting more used to it. All right. If you go out and run or do anything, maybe it's play basketball, maybe it's whatever it is you're going to do. If you go out and do it for the first time in a long time, you're going to notice that, you know, certain muscles are not used to that. All right. You ever done, guys? We sometimes we'll do a certain thing and we think, oh, I can do this other thing, right? You know, maybe you do a certain job where you're always lifting certain packages, okay? James works at Staples. He lifts certain boxes all day. Well, lifting boxes helps these muscles, but if he runs up and down a basketball court three or four times, his legs are going to feel it, all right? You know why? Those muscles haven't been worked in a while. Hey, listen, spiritually, we've got some muscles sometimes we should probably be using a little more often, all right? But here's the idea about laying aside the weight, okay? You know what? We gotta get rid of the junk in our life. All right, we got to get rid of the junk in our life. That's the fat, the extra, the stuff I don't need. I want it to go down. But if my junk is going to start going down, my heart rate has to go up. That's physical exercise. Let's put that in the spiritual sense, okay? If I want my carnality to go down, my heart has to start going up. My heart has to start going up. Too many times our heart is set out here. And our junk stays about the same because our heart is set on so many other things. Our wanter is set on things. Our affections are set on, you know, don't set your affections on things below, but on things above. All right. Those are the things that will last eternally. The kids are memorizing. We're doing Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount over in school, and so many good truths in that. But Jesus was pretty clear that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hey, listen, you know what? If I want my carnality to be reduced, if I want my worldliness to be lower, if I want to get rid of junk in my life, I've got to start putting my heart in the right spot, which is up to the Lord. All right. So, hey, listen, you know what? As a Christian, where are you at physically? Where are you at spiritually? Is your heart rate set on the right thing? Or is it down here, staying the same? What is stopping you? I guess I would ask you this. What's stopping you from doing those things, all right? What, you know, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, where's your treasure today, all right? You know, where's your giving at today? Where's your soul winning at? Where's your praying, your Bible reading, your ministry? Hey, listen, are you involved in those things? And you might be involved. You say, well, I give enough. Well, that's true. You might give enough by money value, but God might not be looking at your money, okay? Sometimes, you know, our excuse is, well, I give to the church. That's good enough. No, it's not, Okay? God said a living sacrifice, your whole body. Okay? That's everything you do. That's your money, your time, your thoughts. So sometimes we think giving it will be okay, but you can't just give it money-wise. It's kind of like, I guess, fitness again. I can't just buy the fanciest fitness tracker and the coolest clothes and automatically become the best runner. It doesn't work that way. All right? I've got to put time, energy, work, effort, thought, okay, preparation into becoming a better runner if I was going to run a race. But you know what? I can't just buy the clothes. All right? We all know that person who just buys the cool stuff to look the part, but they're not. All right? And, you know, they buy the you guys, listen, let's just be honest. If I was going to be a hunter, that would be me. All right? I would buy the coolest gun and I'd buy the coolest this and I'd have all that stuff. But you know what? Honestly, the reason I don't do that, at least on that level, is because I didn't put the effort into it yet. All right? But you know what? I'd rather, much rather start with the effort than all the stuff. Saves me a lot of money, for one. Okay? You know, so if I come saying, hey, let's go hunting together, that shows me that I want to go do that. And I'd like to learn from you first. I'd like to learn the effort and the requirements first and get do it that way, just like you did when you were 16, right? With your dad, or 13 or 14. You know what he did? He took you out and he taught you how to do that. Because you know what? You need to learn the how, why, and how to do it before you can go out and buy all the cool stuff. I think we got that reversed here in America. We like to buy the cool stuff, and we really don't know how to do it. So how about spiritually? Listen, don't just invest in the money side of it. Invest in the time and in the prayer that it takes, the work. Hey, listen, if you're not part of the work, try to get part of the work. Now, I understand there's things that some people can't do, but there's always something. There's always something. Let's look around. Let's pray about it. And get involved. Number six. I learned this while I was out there. We're almost done. Going downhill is a lot easier. Okay? Remember that heart rate thing? Every time it would track elevation too. All right? And I noticed that every time the elevation went like this, my heart rate went up. Okay? When the elevation went up, my heart rate went up. You know why? It was taking me harder work to climb those hills and to run up and down those hills. But every time I would go down, it would go a little faster, a little quicker. All right, my heart rate didn't go down right away, okay? But my pace picked up during that time. Hey, listen, going downhill is easier. Let's think of that spiritually. There need to be times when you go downhill. Okay? Not in a negative way, but you know what? When you have a car and you're going on the highway and you hit coast and you hit cruise control, you want to lock that speed in and you just want to go. Because you're trying to get to your destination, you don't want to slow down, but you're trying to get there. Hey, listen, you know what? There needs to be some times where your body's, you can't run a race all uphill, all right? The Christian life is not all uphill, all right? God gives you times in your marathon, in your spiritual rock, where there's times where you're not having to go uphill. If we all had to go uphill at the same time or all the time, none of us would make it through this thing. God's got to help. I mean, we would, because God can help us, but physically, I think we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? And the Lord gives us times where there's a little peace, a little calm, okay? He gives us times where we can pace ourselves. He gives us times where there's a time of rest. And so, yes, going downhill is easier. And there ought to be times in your Christian life where you take advantage of those pace times. You know, when a guy runs a big race, that's what he does. He does pace himself, all right? He knows that he can't run. A lot of times they go out of the gate fast and they finish fast. But in between, they do run consistently, but they're not always sprinting down the thing, or they couldn't make it through a marathon. The sprinters that run in the Olympics, they couldn't even do the marathon. They've trained their whole life to sprint for a couple seconds, all right? And if you put them in a marathon, they wouldn't make it. They can be the fastest runner in the world, but they wouldn't make it. So listen, hey, you know what? There's got to be a balance in the Christian life of sprinting and pacing yourself, never stopping, but always moving forward for the Lord. But let me just say this, going downhill is also easier in the negative sense. It's way easier to go downhill, all right? Way easier to backslide. It's way easier to slow down in the Christian life. In the spiritual race, it's easy to quit. It's easy to quit. There's a poem that I like to read, and I really like it. We'll read it tonight, but it has to do with this matter of not quitting. I hope that it'll be encouragement to you. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, because sometimes that's how it is in the Christian life. When the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure comes about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell just how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Boy, going into a year of spiritual challenges coming up, the devil's going to try to hit us hard. We got to make sure we got our armor on. We got to make sure we're running. But listen, when things seem hard, when the pace does seem slow, when it seems uphill, when it seems rough, when it seems tough, don't quit. Don't quit on God. Too many Christians of any age are quitting on God right now. Almost preached a message tonight about just my heart's burden for some folks and just for just the idea that the devil does get some good people. He gets good people. He gets the best runners sometimes. He gets the best people. You know, think of the Christian life as a race. You've got new ones just learning how to do it. And you've got guys that have been running for a long time. And it just seems like the devil gets some of those that have been running for a long time. It seems like the devil gets some who maybe haven't been running for a long time, but they've got the most promise. Boy, they've got a lot of time in front of them. They got a lot of ability for the Lord. And all of a sudden, boom, the devil gets them. Right? You know why a lot of times he gets them? Because they may have paced themselves, but they rested too much and they went downhill really fast. Because you know what? They quit. They quit. And you know what? At some point, you've got to make that decision to quit or not. That's what, you know, a lot of people say, well, it just happened by accident. No, it didn't. You still made a decision to quit. You still made a decision. Listen, you may have even messed something up. But I've seen people who've messed up really bad. And you know what? Even in their mess up, they got right with God and they got back on His will for their life. Now, listen, they wrecked it back here. But you know what? They still got up and kept going for the Lord. And we can all do that. I don't care what kind of thing has come into your life. I don't care if it's financial, moral, physical, whatever it might be. You can get up for the Lord and keep running. And this is a Christian life. You know what? Just because if you did get saved back there, all right, you might want to check your salvation, first of all. Make sure you're in the right race, not racing for the devil. He makes you feel like you're losing all the time. Okay, but if you're racing for the right thing, you're racing for the Lord, and you got your salvation settled, you're gonna get knocked down, and sometimes it's because you chose to quit, you chose to stop. All right, but you know what? That quitting decision doesn't happen when you slow down or fall. It happens when you leave the race, when you just go the other way, when you just go off. Now, listen, I think God can rescue even some souls like that. I think He's done it before, but you know what? It's not very often. Most people who choose to quit quit, and they quit permanently. Let's be careful as Christians that we don't go downhill that easy. Let's make sure that we're relying on the Lord. Number 7 and 8, ready? Recruit other people to exercise with you. All right? Hey, running with other people is a lot easier than running by yourself. Okay? You see military, you know why they train together? Encouragement. Okay? Strength, teamwork. All right? You go watch those guys. How is it that they can run for that long with that much weight on their back? How can they do that? Well, one, they've got a drill sergeant there motivating them, okay? And you know what? Hey, parents, that's kind of your job, all right? You got a teenager that's slowing down, you're the drill sergeant, okay? In a way, get them moving again. Hey, listen, pastors, that's a pastor's job. He's kind of the overall drill sergeant here, all right? He keeps things moving. You know what? Your teachers, your Sunday school teachers, every position of leadership in the church, you're a motivator in the Christian life. You should be helping people run, not slowing them down. All right? You shouldn't be slowing people down. Recruit other people to run the Christian life with you. Hey, you know what that means? It's going to take soul winning. We're supposed to go and teach all nations. We're supposed to go out. And, you know, the basic thing of Christian life is proclaiming the gospel to the lost, baptizing them, and discipling them. That's it. All right? That's what we're supposed to do. Are you doing that or are you discouraging that? Be careful. Okay? We want to be careful that we're not getting people out of the race. We want to keep people in the race. When I see somebody who's slowing down, I want to come by and help them up and say, come on. Hey, listen, you know what? We can still do this. Listen, if you see somebody who's not going so many, don't criticize them for it. Encourage them to go with you. All right? Don't get mad at the person who's not here on Sunday night. Encourage them to come on Sunday night. All right? Whatever it is in the Christian life, don't get upset. Well, bless God, you know, Brother Young, you know, I'm not going to say that, okay? But you know what? Hey, listen, you know what? If you see somebody who's not serving at a certain thing that, honestly, that you think is good, by the way, you're looking at the wrong person, look at yourself, make sure you're doing right. But you know what? We can't help but see sometimes the failures of other people, and it is a failure. And sometimes, especially as a teacher or a leader or a pastor or a parent, it's easy to see the failures and negatives, and you do have to stop, and you do have a job to do. You have to encourage them to get up for the Lord and keep going, all right? But let's make sure we're doing that and not just squashing them down. Hey, listen, the teenagers in this church, they need our prayers. They need our prayers and encouragement. And listen, you know what? Don't take a position of criticizing or belittling them if you've never prayed for them. And don't do that if you've never helped them in another area of your life. Hey, listen, there's a time for a leader to step in and say, hey, here's where your line is, and you kind of crossed it, or you're kind of going off here. But you know what? That comes after patient help and patient work. And we're running the Christian life trying to help these young people. Don't cut their legs out from under them from the sidelines and say, well, they're just not running good enough. You know what? They need a lot of training. Okay? Some people need more training than others. Some people are stubborn. All right? This guy right here. I need a lot of help in my life. I'm thankful for the people who didn't quit on Roger Young at a young age. I'm thankful for those folks. Thankful for the people who kept me moving. All right? But listen, you know what? Let's be a recruiter. Somebody who goes out, wins souls, keeps people moving. All right? Number 8, the closer the finish line gets, the faster we should run. The closer the finish line gets, the faster we should run. If you look at my pace per minute on that little tracker thing, that last little bit of time, I ran as hard as I could. And I was already tired. All right? And honestly, my beginning pace and ending pace were close to the same because you have more energy at the beginning, all right? You're a little worn out by the time you get to the end. But you know what? I ran harder at the end. Hey, listen, you know what? It said right here in that poem, it said, you know what? It may be near when it seems so far. Hey, listen, from the Bible, we know that Jesus Christ's coming is near. It is near. Some people think it's nearer than others, all right? Some people live like it's near. Some of you woke up this morning and you lived like Jesus was coming back today. But you know what? A lot of us maybe didn't every hour of the day that we should have. We didn't run as hard as we could have. All right? And sometimes we look back and we look at our performance, we look at our spiritual fitness and go, man, I could have done better than that. I could have done better than that. Hey, listen, do better than that then. Go look at those things. Go back over that list I just gave you. And that's not a complete exhaustive list. Those are just applications. But how is your consistency? Are you going out? Do you have that tracker on that you're supposed to have? Are you tracking your, you know, spiritual? Are you dressed appropriately to be a Christian? All right. Are you going out just once in a while? Or are you going out consistently? Are you doing it even if you don't feel like it? Are you getting rid of the spiritual junk in your life? Are you going downhill or are you going uphill? Are you going downhill spiritually in your mind, in your heart, with negative stuff from the world, the junk that the world gives? Are you winning other people to the Lord? Are you recruiting other people to go with you? Hey, listen, sometimes even not just soul winning, but sometimes you need to recruit somebody and say, listen, I really do need help. Can you help me? All right? That's nothing wrong with admitting where you need help. That would be called a personal trainer. All right? If you were going to become the best quarterback, you might want to go find a personal trainer to train you how to do it better. Right? It doesn't hurt to go in the Christian life and find somebody in the church who does it pretty good and say, hey, listen, can you go soul winning with me? I need help. All right? Maybe it's just Bible. Listen, maybe it's Bible reading. Hey, you might even come up to somebody and say, you know what? Young people, this would be a good idea to go to your mom and dad and say, Mom and Dad, I see you reading your Bible a lot. I see you reading Bible consistently. How do I do that? Asking Mom and Dad how to do that would be a good idea. All right? Moms and dads offering some of that advice would be a good idea. Hey, older folks in the church, if you got a good walk with the God, you know what? Sharing that with the young people would be great. They need to see that walk with the Lord. They need to see that. Sometimes I know it's a private thing. I know it's you and the Lord. But you know what? We need some help. You know what? I could tell you I could have used that, okay, as growing up. And you know what? These young people could too. Hey, listen, the closer we get to the finish line, the faster we should run. Philippians 3:13 says this. I'm going to read these two verses and we'll be done. Not as though I had already attained. This is Paul speaking. He talked about running. He talked about fitness. He talked about getting in line, in shape physically and spiritually. But in Philippians 3:13, he said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I haven't finished this thing yet. I haven't reached the final goal yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, Christian, Jesus is coming back soon. We need to pick up the pace. We've got to pick up the pace. Out of shape or in shape, we've got to get in shape spiritually, and we got to pick up the pace. We got to pick up the pace in Operation Occupation, get it down a little quicker this year. All right, we got to get the gospel out to more people. We got to get all of those doors. If we can hit all of them, that'd be awesome. All right, but you know what? We need to pick up the pace, and we also need to make sure that we're pressing toward the prize. The prize. He said the prize was the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He wasn't running for a corruptible crown. He was running for an eternal crown. Hey, listen, you know what? Money, stimulus checks, whatever it is that you're working for or not working for, whatever it is you get in this life, it's gone. It's gone. Let's make sure that we're using it for the Lord. Let's make sure that we're running for that incorruptible crown. That's a challenge to me, myself. That's where the Lord spoke to my heart. Hope it was a blessing to you tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, we want to be spiritually minded. Lord, we want to set our sights on the right thing. And Lord, the good people here tonight, I don't see anybody in here who's not faithfully in their spot, and that's a blessing. And Lord, I don't see anybody in here who I'd think would not say that they're committed to serving you, their heart set on the right things, but Lord, I can't see that. I see the outside, but Lord, you see the heart. Tonight, there might be one in the room who's not saved. I pray that they'd trust you as Savior if that's the case. Lord, I know that all of us have failed you at times, and we need to be motivated to stay in shape spiritually. Lord, to keep a daily walk with you and a consistent relationship with you. And Lord, to go serve you faithfully out in the fields that are ripe to harvest. Lord, help us to go out and win more souls this week and knock on more doors than otherwise we would have. Lord, help us to live as if you were coming back today, because, Lord, that's your promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all